This episode of Pat Trek is brought to you by Cards Against Humanity. They've asked us not to read an ad. Enjoy the show. We would like to thank the Chicago Podcast Co-op for bringing us that sponsor. The Chicago Podcast Co-op is a collective of excellent podcasts based right here in Chicago. Find out more at chicagopodcastcoop.com.
The late 80s. The final frontier. These are the voyages of the podcast Pat Trek. My continuing mission to introduce my friend Patrick to the best show that ever ran on television. And to boldly go where millions of white guys with glasses have gone before.
Hello, and welcome to Pat Trek. This is the show where my friend Pat O'Rourke introduces me, Patrick Winniger, to Star Trek The Next Generation, a show that I've never seen.
And I have seen a ton of times. And Patrick, I feel like this episode, we've seen things we've never seen before.
I don't know. I kind of felt like it was a bit of a deja vu.
A bit?
Yeah.
It also brings me to the fun fact right away.
Oh,
I'm
really?
I'm just going to get right into it because I
give
think
you a good
it's worth talking about. Yeah. This is the very last time we see the original cast all together in one episode.
The original TNG cast that we saw in the first episode of the first season.
Yes. This is the last time we see them all together. It is not the last time we see any of these characters individually.
So you're saying we will see Tasha Yar at some point, like in a flashback?
Well, we will see the actress who plays Tasha Yar.
All right. But not everyone.
But not everyone is there.
In the same room.
Yes. So this is the very last time we see the original cast all together.
Got four seasons of not seeing a reunion. Pretty crazy. By the way, we are talking about Yesterday's Enterprise.
Oh, right. Right. Yeah. I gave the fun fact before we gave the episode.
Yeah. Yesterday's Enterprise.
I love this episode.
It's great.
There's a couple things about it that just make me mwah to Star Trek and its treatment of
For those of you that are not able to see what's going on, Pat did the chef kiss thing. Chef kiss emoji with his hands.
I did.
No, I'm a big fan of this one. It is... We had space battles.
We did.
At the end.
Yes.
I love to see that.
Yes.
Freaky Quantum Leap shit.
Uh-huh.
I love to see that. And Tasha Yar came back.
Yeah, she did.
And I think she got to go out in a good way.
Finally. And they even say that in the episode, which will
they acknowledge. Get into. I love it when the episode acknowledges shitty writing from the first season. That's like one of my favorite things about
same
this
here.
Season.
Guinan's in this episode as well.
Yeah,
which is
yeah.
Pretty great.
Always love to see Whoopi Goldberg.
Yeah.
So I have Patrick's log from when this came out.
All right.
February 19th, 1990. Douglas will fight Holyfield. Bout is expected to be held in June or September. Tyson won't get a rematch until February. James Buster Douglas will defend his heavyweight championship against Evander Holyfield this fall, forcing Mike Tyson to wait a year for a rematch with the man who took his title, Evander Holyfield.
Oh, that's right.
I wonder how that other rematch with Evander Holyfield went.
I don't know. I'm listening.
So the rematch when he finally got to fight him,
mm-hmm.
That's the one where Mike Tyson bit off his ear.
Yeah. Did you notice my joke?
Yeah.
I said, I'm listening.
Oh,
it was a good joke.
That
and I was
a
like,
good
Magic
joke.
Went right over it.
Very subtle.
Yeah.
Totally missed.
Uh-huh.
I actually saw that match on TV in 97.
Yeah.
Just because it was publicized so much and I had never like seen boxing before. And it was on ABC. So it was like free. And it was over like immediately.
It was so fast.
It was so crazy.
And Mike Tyson was really slow in it, if I recall.
Yeah. And he like ended it just by biting off Evander Holyfield's earlobe.
Have you seen that Mike Tyson documentary?
I haven't.
I highly recommend it. I mean, I am not saying Mike Tyson is a good man.
No, he's not.
But he was definitely taken advantage of by so many people.
Wasn't Don King like his manager?
One of them,
oh, yeah. Don King's a huge piece of shit.
Yeah, and Mike Tyson was one of those guys who was like a great fighter, but didn't really know anything else. right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's what he was. And everybody just made gobs of money off the man.
It's pretty crazy how athletes will get taken advantage of. I knew this guy that I went to high school with. Great linebacker. He was going to the NFL draft. I guess his agent just took all of his money, basically.
Oh, my gosh.
And this happens all the time.
Yeah.
Luckily, Jock was able to get like an acting deal and do that. But like,
oh, wow.
Yeah,
so he made it in acting.
Yeah,
he
yeah.
A
so,
handsome lineman.
Right. So good for him.
Yeah.
But that doesn't happen to everybody.
No, it doesn't.
You know, it's really easy for athletes to get taken advantage of like that. But unfortunately, Mike Tyson is also a huge piece of shit in real life.
Yes, exactly. So I'm not trying to say he's not. But that documentary really shows just the sort of treatment he got.
Yeah. Is that a 30 for 30?
No, I think it's called Tyson. It's on Netflix.
I have to check that out.
Yeah. Highly recommend.
Well,
anyway.
We should probably get into yesterday's Enterprise. Like we said, this is a time travel episode.
I love the time travel episodes.
So, a lot of freaky stuff happens. It is a little hard to follow at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So, Pat, if I sound confused at any point, please help me because
I'll do my best.
Legit had trouble figuring out just what was going on.
I did not.
Okay. I know that they had different uniforms, and when that happened, that was like when the rift opened.
Yeah,
right?
And I can't wait till we get to that part. But first, we have to talk about Worf.
Oh, yeah.
Drinking the prune
juice.
Oh,
yeah, the warrior's drink.
Yes! I love that line!
Yeah. Yeah, so the whole thing opens with, like, Worf hanging out in 10 Forward, and he's drinking alone, and Guinan comes up and gives him a little glass of purplish-brown stuff, and he asks what it is, and she says, look, just drink it. And he tries it. He's like, wow, this is great. And she says, it's prune juice.
It's a human drink.
He says, a warrior's drink. I don't know what that means.
A warrior was staying regular.
Yeah, warrior's got a shit real bad. But he loves it.
Yeah.
And Guinan starts talking to him. He's like, you know, it's kind of weird that you always drink alone. You never, like, wanted to make some friends, you know, maybe some lady friends. And he's saying, look, I'm a Klingon. I have different expectations when it comes to romance, and, you know, I think a lot of my crewmates can't really handle that.
Right.
Like, the physical roughness of, I guess, Klingon sex would be too much.
Well, it's a battle.
Yeah, like, I think we saw hints of that in season one or something.
They talk about this in season one, so I think it's a reference back to season one to get us into that mindset.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. Men sing Klingon opera to women in order to seduce them, and then women take over the sex.
Oh,
and it's
okay.
Very aggressive on the woman's part, and that is what Worf is expecting in a relationship.
So there are just, like, huge cultural and physical differences that he can't get over. And Guinan is like, oh, you're a coward. You got to find out. Maybe someone would be into that. And he says no.
I'll never know.
Right. But then there's just out of nowhere some kind of black hole. Some kind of green energy field appears. Everything starts to change. Worf gets called up to the bridge. Guinan looks up, and she just says, no.
Mm-hmm.
Something has gone wrong. When Worf gets up on the bridge, they say, hey, there is a what they call a temporal rift, which I don't really know what that means.
It's a rift in time.
Yeah. So a hole in, like, space-time or something has happened. No one's really able to figure out what exactly has happened or what it is or why it's there. Worf is doing some sensor readings. He's like, yeah, something has changed. Something's up. And then we see another starship come through. It looks kind of like the Enterprise,
except
a little rounder, a little...
It's a little closer to the Enterprise from original series.
I was going
to
ask you, because I've seen a model of one of those, and it looks a little bit like it.
Yeah. It's a hybrid between what we're seeing in The Next Generation and what we saw in original series.
Okay. So now this is the part where I started to get a little confused.
Okay. This is the part I think is genius.
No, it's super cool in hindsight. Mm-hmm. When I was watching, it took me 15 minutes to figure out what the hell was going on. And, you know, keep in mind, listener, this is the first time I've ever seen this episode. I didn't really know what was happening. So we have an outside shot. We see the two different starships. We cut back to the bridge that we had just seen. You know, standard bridge. It's all beige, pretty well lit.
Mm-hmm.
Now it is dark. it's blue and whitish, and everyone has these silvery belts.
Well, that's holding their phaser. They have their phaser with them at all times now.
Oh, yeah, because they're at war, yes. Which we find out later. Yes. Okay. But and that's also, what it is. Worf is not there, and Yar is there.
Tasha Yar is back. She's also, got a different hairdo, I believe, but she is back.
Yeah, also, Troy is gone, but we don't really notice that.
Holy shit! That's right!
Yeah,
oh, my God!
Because she had pretty much no lines before this happened. So, yeah.
Troy, she just
Troy's just not there. It's never explained why.
Oh, my God!
Yeah.
I mean, I've been watching for Troy, and I totally slipped my mind in this episode.
Nowhere to be found. I don't know what happened to the Betazoids. Maybe their planet got blown up or something, but no.
Maybe they're on the side of the Klingons.
Maybe.
We don't know. Not answered.
Never explained. No one ever says, hey, where's Troy when they get back? Or, hey, I'm glad to see you. Nope. Troy is gone. Yar is there. Also, Worf is gone.
Yes.
But we'll explain very briefly why that is the case.
And everyone's uniform is different as well. The collars have gotten a little higher. There's subtle differences in the uniform.
There's subtle differences. And also, we go back to 10 forward, which is bright.
Super bright.
Which is weird that the bar is super bright and everything else on the ship is dark.
I guess they just inverted everything.
They inverted everything.
But you would want the bar to be dark because you don't want, you know, when you're talking to ladies or gentlemen, whatever you're into, them to see just how ugly you
are. That's the entire point of a bar. Bars are supposed to be dark and cozy, or, you know, and all that stuff.
Yeah,
and
you look your best.
And
there's not too much light.
In this universe, people have decided the opposite.
Yeah. Well,
no,
it looks good.
When I am working around very expensive equipment, I want to be constantly bumping into things and looking like a dumbass. But when I'm in a bar, I want that bright fluorescent light on my face showing off all my blemishes.
That's right.
For everyone to see.
They're proud of it. I don't know. They're in war.
This is a horrible future that they live in. So, yeah, Guinan is in 10 forward.
And her outfit has changed from purple to blue.
It's blue. And she seems to notice that something's up.
Mm-hmm.
She's looking around. She's like, oh, everyone is armed. Their uniforms are a little different. She can't really put her finger on what is off, but she knows something is off. The new starship has left the black hole or the temporal rift.
Mm-hmm.
Yar realizes, like, yeah, this is a Federation, but I can't really figure out what registry. And finally, she's able to figure it out. She says, this is the Enterprise NCC 1701C.
What? And everyone's jaw drops.
Right, because that's the same registry as the Enterprise, except one letter off.
Right.
Because they're on the Enterprise D.
Exactly. So they're on the last version, or the previous version, or yesterday's version of the Enterprise.
Yep. So when we come back after where this would have been a commercial break, Picard is noting in his log that they have come across an anomaly that has sent some kind of version of the Enterprise from the past to their present day. Mm-hmm. And this has never happened before.
So can we pause and talk about why I think this is genius?
Sure.
So many times we see that something in the past is happening, but nobody in the main cast and crew and characters we love can touch it, or it's going to alter their current timeline. So they're spending the whole time trying to preserve the current timeline.
Yeah, that's a common sci-fi trope.
Exactly. Right away, boom, the future has been altered, and we're in a different timeline the second the Enterprise C goes through the time rift. I thought that was such a hot take on this.
Yeah. Like,
it's already happened. The disruption has happened, and it's impacted
you have to
everybody.
Mitigate it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did think that that was really cool. It's kind of different from the Back to the Future of, like, well, we have to prevent this from happening
exactly.
or whatever. They have to go. They have to actually get their hands dirty.
Yeah.
And that's what they're dealing with, which is pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. What they're dealing with is a version of the Enterprise that is 22 years younger.
Yeah, I suppose it's 22 years younger. It has moved 22 years
right.
through space.
It's not in the same linear timeline.
Right.
It is from an alternate one that has still affected the current timeline of, again, the alternate timeline of the show that we're used to watching.
Right.
So this is where I got a little muddled because I didn't quite put together that, oh, the usual Enterprise that I'm used to seeing with Worf and whatnot on it, not going to see that this episode. I thought it was going to come back to that at some point.
You thought that ship was flying around somewhere?
Yeah, I thought it was somewhere.
Oh, no.
Watching this happen, but no.
The Enterprise D has been forever changed by the fact that what the Enterprise C was supposed to accomplish never did.
I'm an idiot. It took me a while to put that together.
Yeah, you dummy.
Yeah.
Welcome to Pat Trek, where one of the Pats is a genius and the other one's a dummy. So, guess which one's which.
So on the Enterprise D of this new version of the Enterprise that we're going to see for the rest of this episode, Data is going over the sensors, and he's like, well, yeah, this is the Enterprise C. This is the previous model. And Wesley is there. And as you mentioned, when we were watching this, he has a little, like, command pip.
He does.
He's, like, an actual officer.
Yes. Which indicates the dire straits of the situation.
Yeah, because this Enterprise-D, they've been at war with the Klingons for a long time.
And that's where Worf is.
And, yeah. So Worf isn't there. He's either dead or he is on a Klingon vessel.
Well, he was an orphan child rescued by humans.
Uh-huh.
They must have done something different with him.
Yeah, none of this probably would have happened.
No.
And Wesley has, they've gotten to the point where kids are serving on these military vessels, mm-hmm. basically. Which,
because they say no family is present.
Right. Wesley is still 14, 15 years old, but mm-hmm. yeah, he's like a lieutenant or something like that.
Yeah. I think younger or lower ranking than a lieutenant.
Right,
but
yeah.
Yes.
Like ensign, but yeah.
He's got one pip on. Whatever one pip
is. Yeah, whatever that is. Well, it's like that did happen in the U.S. Navy, too. You know, like in War of 1812, there's this guy, David Farragut, who ended up being an admiral in the Civil War. He was on the USS Essex, which was like a British or an American vessel that was raiding British whaling vessels during War of 1812. Hmm. It was pretty common for like kids to be on there training to be officers.
Yeah.
Like, so I guess that's where the tradition of, like, putting Wesley...
families on ships.
Yeah.
We were talking about
well,
this before.
That's what
it
they
makes
were...
for a great, strong federation.
Everyone knew, though, everyone knew that, yes, these are for war. We're just training kids because we're messed up, and this is the early 1800s where we don't care about them.
I don't want to jump too far ahead, but when Guinan and Picard are talking... Guinan is absolutely right that the Enterprise was not built for war.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
It was built for exploration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not definitely.
The ship they're on now was built for war.
Not in this universe, buddy. so, yeah, what they're able to figure out, though, Wesley and Data, through their scans of this ship, is in their timeline, in the Enterprise D timeline, this ship shouldn't be here.
No.
It got destroyed. Everyone died. Like 22 years ago. But Data says, wait, no, it was only presumed destroyed. We don't really know what happened to it. And I don't know if that changed just because it came through the rift,
mm-hmm.
that it was destroyed otherwise, and then like, oh, it came through the rift, and now that changed the timeline in Enterprise D. But there was a battle at Narendra 3, which was this Klingon outpost. And
with the Romulans.
With the
clear.
Romulans.
So it
yeah.
wasn't a battle with the Klingons.
Wasn't a battle with the Klingons. The Enterprise C was going to rescue the Klingon outpost mm-hmm. and was presumed destroyed with all hands. But mm-hmm. now here it is. So I don't really know what's happening. Picard is saying, well, maybe it like went adrift and somehow like traveled through time through this wormhole or whatever the hell this thing is. Data's saying, well, you know, if that actually did happen, it is technically possible, but this hole that we're seeing right here, which is still out there, it's going to collapse at any second because it's unstable.
But it is symmetrical. Don't they say that?
Yeah, it's symmetrical, but it's they call it a Kerr loop in space. It shouldn't be there. It is. It's an anomaly, but it could collapse at any moment. So we have the stakes here. Well, we have a watershed moment in history that we could change. But if we want to change it, got to do it.
Got to do it now.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yar is doing life signs on the vessel, and she was saying, well, a lot of damage, but there's people. They're still alive. We can go talk to them and figure out what the hell happened. So Riker and Yar get the sick bay to... ready to get a whole bunch of people on.
We meet the captain.
Yeah. Captain Garrett.
Captain Garrett. She's sitting in her captain's chair.
Yeah.
Breathing heavily. Injured back, I believe.
Yeah. They have totally different uniforms that I'm trying to figure
out. Oh, so you don't recognize those at all?
No.
Oh, again, it's this hybrid between... It's very close to what they were wearing in the Star Trek movies.
Oh, yeah. So, I've seen those on TBS, like, very briefly before.
Sure.
So I was trying to...
It's a rendition of that.
Yeah, they looked really familiar, but then kind of weird.
Yeah, well, they're not the same because because different Enterprises.
Oh, all right.
That would have been, that's the raw. It's the crew we're seeing right now is I think the only crew or one of two crews. Let me know, listener. Between Kirk and his crew and Picard.
Okay.
Because we do quite a big time dash between the two.
Oh, all right, but. This is related to the original series,
yes.
More so. Okay.
Yeah, so that's what it's referencing.
Gotcha.
Same with the blasters, or if you know, well, blasters. What universe are we in?
Yeah, the
phasers. Same with the phasers.
Yeah.
They look like original series
like guns.
Phasers. Yeah, well, they have handles.
Yeah.
Once you got to Next Generation, handles on flashlights,
well, yeah,
and guns didn't matter.
Next Gen, they switched to the voting machines in America's Funniest Home Videos.
that's right.
But yeah, we see these people, and they're sending out a distress call. Captain Garrett, she's this woman who is wearing something like the original series uniform.
Not original series, the movies.
The motion picture uniform.
Yes.
And she's sending out a distress call because they're being attacked by Romulans. Enterprise D picks this up. Mm-hmm. So we've
in their altered next-gen uniforms.
Yeah. So we've
has a higher collar, a little more dark, and makes them all look a little more serious.
So we've already established a link now between Enterprise C and Enterprise D.
Yeah, and I think if you're a savvy Star Trek watcher, you would see those uniforms and right away be like, oh,
yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Like, it's a little fan service.
I didn't pick this up.
No, of course not.
So Riker hears this, and he's saying, well, wait a minute. A distress call for Romulans? There was never any historical record of this happening. That's really weird. And Yar says, well, I mean... It's just an automated message, so I don't know. They try to establish direct contact between Enterprise D and Enterprise C, and Captain Picard says this is a Federation starship. Stand by for an emergency team. Riker and Yar and this away team, they go and they beam aboard. It's all messed up.
Oh, yeah.
Like a smoking bridge. Everyone is dead.
Lauren, my wife was watching this, points out that Geordi at one point is using the tricorder on a fire, and he goes, oh, it's all burning.
It's all, yeah, he acknowledges damage with a tricorder on an ongoing fire. Not putting it out, just saying, yep, it's fire. So this is a situation they're dealing with on the bridge of the Enterprise C. And if I sound disjointed, like, just know that I'm trying to figure out what is going on at this point still.
This read like a book to me.
Okay. Not to me. So they find a whole bunch of dead bodies. And Yar and Riker, they find Captain Garrett.
Mm-hmm.
And she is injured but still alive. And they're scanning her and they're like, oh, you got internal injuries. And, you know, we got to take you to sick bay. And she's like, what? What the hell? They hear Enterprise.
Yeah.
Which would be super confusing to her.
Well, because she's on the Enterprise.
Because she's on the Enterprise. She asks for an explanation, and Riker is like, this is going to be super confusing. We're from the Federation. We heard your distress call. We'll explain later, basically. And they take her back to sick bay. Geordi is going over to the ship, and he's like, yeah, it's pretty bad. There's some people alive, but... We can fix it. It's just going to take a while.
Yeah.
It's got some serious damage. And then they find just some dude hanging out inside the computers.
He is not some dude.
Yeah, it is Lieutenant Richard Castillo, who is the helmsman of Enterprise C.
Better known to our listeners who are our age as the bad guy.
Bad guy from Happy Gilmore.
Yes.
I forget his name. Shooter McGavin.
Shooter McGavin. Yeah, Shooter
from,
McGavin.
From Happy Gilmore. He's hanging out inside one of the computers of the Enterprise C.
Mm-hmm.
Badly injured, but still alive. So he's one of the people on there. Back on the bridge, Picard gets a report from the away team. They say what happened. And one of the things that we learned from this exchange is there are 125 people still alive on the Enterprise C.
That's great. if you think about it.
Yeah, because otherwise, they just thought that they were all dead.
Yeah. Saved 125 lives.
From 22 years in the past.
Yeah.
So all of this, this could bonkers. Be... Yeah, it's just nuts.
Mm-hmm.
All these people are in sick bay, yeah. And Riker is trying to salvage the ship, basically. He doesn't want to lose it because he says, you know, we could definitely use it in Starfleet.
Yeah. Starfleet could use any ship. They
yeah, and they haven't directly said what's happened by this point, but this is where I picked up as like, oh, things are bad.
Yeah, the war is not going.
They
great.
Found a 22-year-old ship, and they really want to piece it together
mm-hmm.
to make it fight. Mm-hmm. Man, things must not be going good for Starfleet. So Picard orders him to do that. He's got 9 hours to fix it, and in the meantime, they're going to evacuate everybody. And then Guinan comes up on the bridge. She tries to talk to Picard and let him know, hey, things are different.
Mm-hmm.
Picard can't really follow.
He's very aggressive. With
yeah.
Him.
I mean, he's
this
like,
is a war-hardened Picard.
Right. He's like, look, I got this thing to deal with. I got this thing to deal with. People are going to die. What do you want, Guinan? And she's just like, hey, you know, I'm thousands of years old, by the way, and, you know, got... knowledge beyond time. Mm-hmm. Things
my
are
intuition
not,
is good.
Yeah, yeah, she generally knows what is up, and she's just trying to tell him this isn't right. Something's off.
Your uniform.
Uh-huh.
It looks weird.
But she can't articulate it because
no.
she doesn't know exactly what's wrong.
Because her timeline would be the same
right.
as everybody else's.
Mm-hmm.
I keep trying to think, like, how could she know? And my first thought was... Well, she's so old. She's older than before the time rift
yeah.
started, maybe?
I get
but
oh,
if it's
yeah.
only 22 years, then everybody's older except
yeah.
for Wesley. So, like, what's her grounding in the fact that she isn't as impacted, although clearly impacted by the change in time? They
yeah.
they never really tell us either.
This is where it comes up, and one of the things that she does notice is that there aren't any kids on the ship. And Picard says, well, of course not. We're at war.
Yeah. I
and
talked
she
about
says,
this earlier.
No, this is a ship of peace. There's going to be kids on it. And that kind of throws Picard off, where he's like,
that seems dumb.
That seems like a terrible idea. We got guns and stuff on here. Good idea, Picard. Why do you have kids on here?
Again, I think they were calling out for season writers.
Yeah.
Well, they
did
it a couple
they
times
had that battle
episode.
Bridge thing that they never did anything with. And Guinan says that pretty much the only way to fix this is to send the Enterprise-C back to its own time. And she can't prove anything to him. It's just her intuition. Now, I think Picard trusts her enough to have this throw him off a little bit.
At least be a conversation.
Right. He needs more, though.
Yes.
But it started. Like, she's planted the seeds of doubt right mm-hmm. now. So Picard goes up to meet Captain Garrett in the sick bay. And she's a little woozy, but... She's like, where the hell am I? What is going on? I've never seen a sick bay like this, and you keep telling me this is a Federation vessel. Like, I don't get it.
I've never even seen this on a space station.
Right. Picard is saying, all right, what happened? Just tell me what happened in your version. And, yeah, Garrett's ship, the Enterprise-C, they're responding to a Klingon distress signal. And... they were going to go fight it, like Romulan warbirds, and they never really got there. They didn't, like, get there in time. And Picard is thinking, oh, my God, if you had actually done this 22 years ago in our timeline, saved a Klingon outpost, like, been at least successful, we could have averted a war.
20 years of war.
And this is where we learn that they have been at war with the Klingons for 20 years.
Yeah.
And it has not gone well.
Nope.
Just from what we've seen, and again, this is showing, not telling, what we've seen on the vessel, the difference in the uniforms, everyone carrying phasers.
Maybe security actually works.
Yeah, I'm sure it does.
Yeah,
it better. If this ship is still flying, I assume
yeah.
it is.
Yeah.
You know, in Wesley being made some kind of officer and no kids on the ship, all of that, we can learn, oh, things ain't going well.
No.
This isn't normally how the Enterprise works.
I also love the way Patrick Stewart portrays Picard.
Yeah.
Because I think of all the characters, Riker to an extent, and then Tasha's different, and those are the three main characters in this episode, I would say. Tasha, it's hard to tell because we haven't seen her since season one. Riker's always kind of smirking. But Picard, he seems tired. He seems exhausted.
Exhausted, yeah.
And he has no patience for distraction.
No.
Which is different. Normally, the Picard we know would love to, you know.
He loves to explore things.
Yeah.
He loves detective shit.
Yeah.
Like, both for recreation and also just like in his everyday job. He loves to solve mysteries.
Yeah.
In this case, he has no time for any of
no,
that.
No, he's more worried about the safety of everybody.
Yeah.
And it's portrayed so well, even in those subtle moments.
Yeah. It's good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hooked by this point.
Yeah.
Now that I finally know what's going on.
And we're like halfway through the episode.
Right. I'm like, oh, we're not going to see regular Enterprise. All right, I get it.
Back when are they flashing back?
Yeah, that's what I kept thinking. Back on Enterprise C, Shooter McGavin and Tasha Yar are fixing the ship up. They're trying to get the weapons back up because they know that they're gonna need them, and they're, you know, they get like the phaser banks up. They can't get the photon torpedoes quite up to snuff yet, and I think that's what they mentioned may have caused the anomaly. Four warbirds shot a whole bunch of photon torpedoes at them, and they think it like opened up a rift.
Yeah,
that's like crazy. That's enough to do it.
Well, it's a lot of energy.
I guess so.
Time, space, thought—they're all one thing.
Yeah. So Castillo is kind of dealing with the fact that he's probably never going to see his family again.
Yeah.
It sounds like he was a married guy or something, or had people back home.
He had people back home. If he was married.
Yeah, if he was married, this
oh,
is...
Oh, man.
Yeah, but he had people back home.
Yes, definitely.
And he's 22 years in the future. He has just warped through time. He is definitely never going to see them again.
Wait a minute, though.
Probably not.
Wait a minute.
Probably not.
No, we're in the future. Mm-hmm. 22 years is not that much time. We saw earlier people living well into their hundreds. It's not like his whole family would be completely gone at this point. And he does write them off. But the math is wrong.
Well,
it's only like in our time, it'd be like missing for 5 years.
Oh, because what do people live to? Like 120 or something?
We saw like 120, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying...
I mean, it would be...
It's not a big deal.
It would be a huge disruption.
But if he had a nephew or a niece,
I guess so. Yeah.
They're still around. I bet you his brother is still around. If he's married, they're probably still there.
Yeah, he says that it's going to be different, and he's like basically...
And he writes him off! Shooter McGavin! Well, oh, he's a villain!
Well, then Tasha Yar says, you're not going to like this future. Here's what's been going on, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Maybe they've all been blown up.
Right. Yeah. Well, this is before Tasha Yar even tells him, oh, yeah, everyone's dead, probably.
Yeah.
They have had, like, this terrible war for 20 years, and it keeps getting worse and worse, and it sounds like the Federation's going to lose it.
Mm-hmm.
So
they're on rations. I guess that's later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
okay,
but Castillo, the other thing Castillo says is that, oh, wow, that sucks, because we just had a peace treaty with the Klingons that we were negotiating right when this happened. Well, I guess that changed.
Yeah.
Oops.
And, yeah, Tasha goes, yes, so much has changed, to that line.
Yeah.
I guess, to my earlier rant, maybe his whole family is dead, but it's got nothing to do with the 20 years.
Wait, what are you getting at?
Maybe they died in war, or casualties of war or something.
Well, because he immediately hits on her.
I know. Well, that's what I'm saying.
Right.
If that dude was married.
Yeah, you're probably right.
He should have like at least checked out.
He should have grieved.
Computer.
Yeah.
Where's Mrs. McGavin?
By the way, he's not Shooter McGavin in this. It's just that is the name of another character that this actor played that I just don't feel like looking up right now.
Mm-hmm.
Lieutenant Castillo, though, does hit on Tasha Yar. That does happen.
Well, right away they get into this
pretty much immediately
relationship kind of thing. So yeah, I say kind of thing because it's not quite a relationship.
Nothing
either.
Really happens. Mm-hmm. Back on Enterprise D, Data and Picard are working through what's going to happen when they send the ship back through the rift, which is what they plan on doing. This is where they say that the anomaly is symmetrical and it would probably go back right into battle if they sent it. So
yeah, the exact time it
instant left. Death, mm-hmm. almost just certain death to send the Enterprise C back, but. This is what they're dealing with. They kind of have to do it to get the timeline right.
Yeah.
Which is messed up.
They got to make the bar dark again.
I know.
Riker's
yeah.
not getting any it's like, since it's too bright. You can see his bald
fluorescent.
Spot.
So, back on the Enterprise D, mm-hmm. Yar and Castillo are going through the ship, and they're talking about the differences between it and how Yar had to go through all this training to get on the Enterprise, and Castillo says, yeah, I did too. Well, I mean my Enterprise. So they have these kind of weird parallel like experiences.
Yeah.
And then they go to sickbay, they talk to Captain Garrett, and Garrett is trying to get up from her sickbed.
Of course she is. She's a captain of the Enterprise.
Dr. Crusher tells her that she needs 24 hours to recuperate, and she's like, no, we got to get the weapon system's back online. We got to fight these Romulans. Mm-hmm. And doctors are always trying to keep me bedridden. I'm not going to do that. Like, yeah. She gets up. She goes back into battle. Guinan goes up to talk to Picard again. And they're in the conference room. And I notice one of the things that's different. So in the regular Enterprise, you know how they have those like weird wood gold spray-painted sculptures?
Yes.
They don't have that here.
No.
They have this stone mosaic that's like this bunch of concentric circles and it's got the Enterprise in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I was just watching the entire time of like all the differences between Enterprise D in this timeline and the other Enterprise.
Yeah. Well, they were also in front of, in this scene, I believe, a battle map of...
Yeah.
Yeah. So everything's been altered to be more...
Military
and aggressive.
Yeah.
There's no room for decoration. Everything is either propaganda
yeah,
or
yeah.
functional.
Nothing is pretty.
Nothing. No.
Yeah. So Guinan goes to talk to Picard, fill him in basically on what she feels is wrong. But Picard is saying, look, you've got to have proof. I need something concrete. She can't really give it to him. She just tells him that you got to send the Enterprise C back through the rift. That's all I know. Picard doesn't want to do it because he's going to kill 125
yeah,
people.
Certain death.
Immediately. What is the point in doing that? How do you even know like which timeline is right? Like, this is where I feel in Picard's mind. This is where I feel I'm supposed to be. This is the only timeline I know.
Yeah.
What the hell are you telling me that something is wrong?
And how do you know?
Yeah.
And I want to know.
Yep.
I'm racking my brain.
And Guinan tells him, look, here's what I do know. This is wrong. This is not how it's supposed to be. And I know that if you sacrifice 125 people, these people who have signed up for war, you will save billions, literally billions of lives.
Yeah.
That's just what you got to do.
And you trust me, don't you, Picard?
Right.
And he has in the past, apparently. In
that's
this
true.
Timeline.
Yeah.
And we know in our normal timeline, he holds her in high regard.
Uh huh. And
although
I don't
we
think,
don't quite understand.
As
her,
we find,
her power.
Like that has not changed in this one either.
No.
Man, that is a messed up choice, though.
It is.
Yeah. So that's what he's left with. And, you know, he doesn't make a decision just yet, but he's just kind of stewing. Back in 10 Forward, which is brightly lit, Yar and Castillo are talking about, like, what they're going to do with the weapons programs back in the Enterprise C. And Guinan comes up, and she looks kind of weird at Tasha Yar.
Kind of weird?
And Yar picks it up.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
If you don't pick that up, you are the most unobservant person on the planet, Patrick.
Well,
Guinan is straight up giving her side eye so hard.
Well, Yar asks her
scene.
What's wrong, and Guinan's like, nothing.
More side eye?
Yeah.
I'd be like, oh. Whoopi, something is really
well,
wrong here.
Castillo picks it up, too, and he's like, what was that about? And she was like, I don't know. I've never seen her rattled like that before. That's really weird.
Yeah, she's always so calm.
And they order some acronym. I can't remember what it was.
TK
but, yeah,
something.
They're rations. They're yeah. basically like, what she says is the replicators are on low power because everything is diverted to the weapons now. Mm-hmm. Which is, man, that's messed up. Normally, they're able to order whatever the hell they want in the replicators.
An abundance of things.
Right. So, pretty much their like entire economic system has been disrupted by this war. Everything has changed.
And it still proves that war is nothing more than a battle of resources.
Yeah.
Like, you still can't eat.
Yeah.
If you're at war, you still have to have rations.
Yeah. You can't even, like, get a nice martini or whatever anytime you want. Or 10 chocolate sundaes.
And then just walk away
from
them.
And then walk away from it because you decided you don't want to eat them now. Can't do that. All that power has to go to the phasers. Yeah, it's really weird. But they're, like, flirting, Tasha and Castillo.
What do you think about this budding romance?
You know, it was uneasy at first. Mm-hmm. But as it went on, I was like, oh, okay. That makes sense. I just thought it was weird because Castillo had just been rocketed 22 years in the future, and he was talking about all the people that he would miss. And when they're working on these weapon systems, he's like, oh, how about you fill me in on the hellscape that this future is.
Yeah. And he
over drinks. Like, that was weird.
Yeah. It made me feel like, oh, well, Tasha Yar is always Tasha Yar, I guess.
Yeah.
Where she falls into these weird romances pretty quickly.
Yeah. I mean, it made sense by the end, whatever, but
I feel like a nice way to tie it up, I guess.
Yeah. They didn't need to do that.
No.
You know?
Yeah.
Because the reason that she ended up going onto the ship had nothing to do with Castillo.
No, not at all.
And it didn't have to.
No.
So
it just added.
It's just unnecessary.
Conflict.
Yeah. The next scene that we see, we're back in the new and improved conference lounge.
I love this scene.
No gold lame sculptures. And a bunch of officers are gathered, and they're talking about what to do with this Enterprise C.
Mm-hmm.
Do you put it back through the hole where they're all going to die? Do you leave it there? Do you take it on the fight with the Klingons? What do you do?
Yeah. And what I love about this is it shows how much more desperate the situation is.
Yeah.
Like, this is the best moment to parallel between how the crew acts in our normal Enterprise-D versus this version of the Enterprise-D, because normally it's a really democratic process where everybody gets a vote and everybody's listening, and Picard is sitting there patiently waiting for people to just discuss their points of view. Not in this world. Picard has a set agenda that he's arguing for and believes is right.
And everyone is against it for different reasons. Like, Dr. Crusher is saying, well, I don't know why you're trusting Guinan's intuition.
Right.
We're at war.
Mm-hmm.
You can't really do that.
She's arguing science.
Right. And then Riker is saying, well, you know, it doesn't even matter. This thing, we'll send it back, sure, but it can't save Narendra 3, which is the goal, right? Can't do it.
No.
And
they'll just die meaningless.
Yeah. And then LaForge, Geordi is saying, look, we can outfit this thing with modern weapons. That's one more ship we have in our arsenal. Think about that. Picard says, well, that won't alter the past, and we want to alter the past. And everyone's like, what the hell are you talking about?
Yeah, how do we do that? How do we know we'll be any different?
Yeah. Guinan, what Picard is getting at is that Guinan knows. Mm-hmm. She just does. And he trusts her, and she has to be right. Basically, because this timeline that they live in, this is hell.
Yeah.
Like, it sucks.
It's the darker timeline.
And Data confirms, look, Guinan's not human, guys. Remember that. Like, she has knowledge beyond what we have.
Mm-hmm.
And I always thought that was kind of a weird thing with this, because Star Trek normally doesn't get into, like, space fantasy.
Mm-mm.
But they kind of hint at this thing where she has, like, mystical knowing abilities.
Right. But we don't know.
Yeah, we just don't know.
I don't know if it's mystical or if it's more like, I don't know, is the Traveler mystical?
No.
Is Q mystical? I guess Q is. I'm sure there's a scientific explanation for it. We just don't know what it is yet.
Yeah.
Also, Data says during this scene that if the Enterprise C were seen to lose the battle, but they did it
in an honorable way.
Yeah.
Then the Klingons would see that, and they would recognize that, and that would change the past.
And hell yeah, right? Because that confirms so much we've learned about the Klingons
right.
so far.
Because everyone is saying, look, Picard, you're sending all these people to die, and they will die meaningless deaths. And Data says no, because, look, this is what the Klingons honor. If they see this happen, if they acknowledge that they went to at least try, then...
Because it's a Klingon outpost, remember.
Then this, we could avert 20 years of war. Just think about that. So...
Thank you, Data!
Picard also says that he's not looking for everyone's consent. So this is a different thing. He's like... I just brought you here because of protocol. I don't care what you say. I'm doing it.
Yeah. And, decision made.
Right. So he's going with Guinan's recommendation, and no one really likes it.
At this moment, Tasha Yar gets a look on her face.
Yeah. So she's uneasy this whole time, and she goes to the turbo lift, and Data's there, which I thought this scene was going to be a little different just based on Tasha Yar and Data's history.
Yeah, me too.
But it doesn't exist in this timeline, so it kind of makes sense.
How do we know? They might have hooked up.
Yeah,
but
no,
she's over it.
Clearly doesn't happen. Mm-mm. Data says something like, oh, I can assess by your facial problems or whatever that you're upset.
By your facial problems?
I don't know what the hell he says.
I think he said expression.
He says some robot shit and...
Android
shit. And yeah, Yar is just like... I'm just, you know, worried about my new friend, Castillo. He seems really nice, and we're just going to send him to die. That's kind of messed up. And Data says, well, you know, if everything goes right, we're not even, like, we won't even remember this. So don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Which does not solve her worry.
No.
So, yeah, the Enterprise-C, they're fixing the ship. Captain Garrett is talking to Captain Picard, and they're like, well, so what are we doing? Are we staying here? Are we leaving? And Picard's saying, no, I'm going to send you back through the rift. And Garrett says, do you really trust this Guinan person? Like, we have no idea who she is, like, what she is from our perspective. This is super weird. And Picard says, nope, we're going to do it.
Well, and she also says that much of the crew wants to go back.
Yeah, like, they want to go back to the fight.
Yeah, they didn't want to leave the fight, and they miss their loved ones. But again, the timeline on that is weird.
Yeah.
But they do want to go back.
Yeah. Garrett knows they're not going to survive, but she's like, hey, you know what? What if you bring the Enterprise-D here with us? Romulans won't stand a chance. And Picard's like, I think you know we can't do that. And Garrett kind of gives up that idea. But yeah, they're all prepared to go, like, to certain death immediately, which is pretty crazy.
How about that for nationalism?
Yeah. Yeah, none of this really syncs up with the Federation that I know. It's pretty odd. And then Picard tells Captain Garrett something that's really unsettling, because she offers to fight, you know, in the against the Klingons, and he says, you know, look, I'm gonna be honest with you. Rest of the crew, they don't know this, but defeat is certain within 6 months. We have to surrender. It won't do any good. Me sending this ship back is the only thing that's going to stop it. Yeah.
One more 20-year-old ship isn't going to help
us. It's not going to help. So, look, my only hope is for us to not have this stupid war in the first place. So you got to go back.
It's beautiful.
Damn. This scene was messed up.
Yeah, I loved it.
So Garrett and Castillo and all those other people, they're going to go back to their own time. And they're about to head back, and they're like, all right, we know we're going to die, but we're going to give the Romulans what for, and we're going to prove to the Klingons that we're good allies. And just then, they're like strafed by a Klingon bird of prey and destroys parts of the Enterprise-C. Enterprise-D is fine because it's pretty technologically advanced. During this fight, we see Captain Garrett fall from her captain's chair. There's mayhem, and you know, then the bird of prey cloaks and leaves. And as it comes back, we see that Captain Garrett has a piece of, like, shrapnel or something.
It's gruesome.
Yeah, it's pretty messed up. It's, like, stuck in her head. Her eyes are open.
Yeah, and they're just bleeding.
Yeah.
Shockingly gruesome
for
Star Trek.
Yeah, they're trying to get, like, a damage report, and they can't. And they can't hear back from the captain, and, yeah.
She's dead.
She's dead. So, Castillo is basically in charge. They have no real command structure left in the Enterprise-C. But Castillo is trying to make his case to Riker and to Picard. Like, look, I am ready to do it. And Riker is trying to tell him, look, you're going to get everyone killed. And Castillo's like, yeah, I know. That was the plan anyway. But I'm prepared to do it, and my people are prepared too. So just let us go. So then Data comes in and lets Picard know that, hey, you know, that Warbird thing, it kind of messed up the temporal rift. So if we're going to do this, we got to do it now. Picard offers, he's like, look, we're going to give you cover. Castillo, you're in charge. Take the ship through there. Best of luck to you.
Yep.
But you're all going to die, by the way.
but not on this time.
Yeah. So Yar is going back with Castillo to the transporter room, and they're saying bye, and they're kind of flirting, and then finally Castillo kisses her.
Well, he has a great line where he goes, if you're ever back on Earth and you see
a 50-year-old man
staring at you, maybe give him a chance.
Right.
I thought that was nice.
So
at least funny.
After that, Tasha Yar goes and talks to Guinan, and she's like, look, what happens to me? And Guinan is kind of holding back, but she eventually reveals, you're going to die. And not just die anyway, but die a meaningless death.
Again, shots fired,
damn.
Season 1 writing staff.
She doesn't say, you get killed by a sentient melted tire.
But it is meaningless.
Totally meaningless, and Yar is just horrified. Yeah. So she goes to talk to Picard in his ready room, and she's like, look, I got to be on Enterprise C. I got to be there. I know that I do, because Guinan told me I die a meaningless death. I know I'm not going to be here anyway, so I may as well give it meaning, right? And Picard doesn't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But
he needs her.
But he also needs the Enterprise C to fulfill its mission. Yeah. And Yar is really, really good at weapon systems, and they don't really have that there. So what Picard says is, like, there's no logic in this at all. Like, there is no meaningful or meaningless death. Whether they succeed or not, the Enterprise C will be destroyed. And that's where Yar convinces them, look, if they have one or two more seconds, they can get that much closer to Narendra 3 and prove to the Klingons they tried and die an honorable death. Because in this timeline, an honorable death means something. It actually means a mission success, because that prevents that war. So you got to send me.
Mm-hmm.
So she goes. He thinks about it, and then she's like, all right, I'm ordering you to Enterprise C and certain death. Damn, that is messed up to think about.
It is.
So Castillo is back on Enterprise C, and, you know, he's getting everything ready. Then Tasha Yar shows up. Castillo's like, well, what the hell are you doing here?
Whoa, get off my ship!
Yeah, and she says, no, I was ordered here. These are my orders, and I will fulfill them. And he's like, well, you know, we're going back in time. Like, through the rift. She's like, yeah, I know. And I'm going to help you fight the Romulans. And we're going to do this together. He's like, all right, I don't want you here, but I know that you're going to help. So let's do it. Let's die together.
Yeah. Basically, he has no other choice.
Yeah.
What's he going to do? Either leave someone off of that position or allow Tasha to do it.
Yeah. And as this is happening, they're sending the Enterprise C through the rift. And a whole bunch of Klingon vessels are coming in. Mm-hmm. And they're firing, like,
epic,
huge space battle.
That's great.
It's awesome.
Yeah. Gruesome as well.
Yeah, like, everything is, like, they're breaking through the hull, breaking through the shield, but the Enterprise-D has to fend them off to let the Enterprise-C through the rift. Finally, they get to the point where, like, the antimatter containment field has been breached. Everyone is going to die.
Riker's already dead.
Yeah, Riker has got his throat blown up or something. Really gross.
It was nasty.
And then they get hailed by the Klingons saying, prepare to be boarded. And Picard's like, over my dead body, basically.
Yeah, and he just starts firing all the phasers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're buying time.
Yes.
The important thing. They're going to die on the Enterprise-D. But the Enterprise-C is getting through that damn rift. Yeah. They gotta surrender at this point. But just at that point, Enterprise C goes through, and everything's back to normal.
Yeah,
they turn around on the bridge, and
Worf is back.
Worf is back. Riker is alive.
Deanna Troi is there.
Yar is dead.
Yeah,
everything seems to be normal. And Picard is trying to figure out what's going on. He's like, all right, hey, everybody, what's going on? Worf says, yeah, there's a rift. Sensors indicated that, but everything seems to be normal. Everything is as if nothing happened.
Yeah. Like so, a boring day.
Yeah, so they send a little probe, and they're trying to figure out what's going on. And Guinan calls up from 10 forward, asking if everything is okay, which normally doesn't happen.
No, very rare.
So Picard and Riker are like, oh, that's weird. Yeah, Guinan, everything's fine. Anything wrong down there? And then we see in 10 forward, she's got the normal color dress that she wears, and there's no rift that we're looking at through the window. Everything seems to be okay. So yeah, she's like, okay, yeah. Just checking to see if everything's all right. And then she goes back to a table, and she sees Geordi. She says, Geordi, tell me about Tasha Yar.
And hands him some prune juice.
Yeah, a warrior's drink. And that's the end of that episode.
Yeah, it was so great. Well, Patrick, this is the part of Pat Trek where we like to rate what we just saw. If we thought it was amazing, must watch Star Trek, we set to kill. If we thought it was pretty good, if it comes up in the queue, give it a watch. We set to stun. And if it's horrible, avoid at all costs, we leave it in the holster. So, Patrick, tell me, what'd you think?
You know, I'm going to go with the set to kill.
Yeah!
Yeah! No, it was good. It took me, you know, just as a layperson to Star Trek, it took me a little bit to figure out what was going on. But mm-hmm. once I did, I was like, hell yeah, it's a good, pretty good episode. Normally, like you said, we have all these cliches with time travel. Don't want to mess up the timeline. But in this case, they had to do it.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a nice little twist. And we got to see, like, this terrible dystopia that the Federation was in, like, what the effects of Endless War were. And, you know, again, they showed, they didn't tell. Oh, everyone is carrying phasers. That's off. Oh, this little kid is a you know, some kind of lieutenant on the ship. That's weird. Oh, there's no kids on here. This isn't the utopia that I thought of. And then there are some pretty cool space battles.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Hell yeah, watch this one.
Hell yeah. Completely agree. Love this episode. And, you know, I'll say this. It was nice to have some closure on Tasha Yar.
That is also true.
It was nice. Now, I still don't think her character is the greatest, but I think that this at least allowed us to say goodbye to her in a way where you're like, all right, cool.
It
she went
meaning.
Out on her own terms as mm-hmm. well, who a warrior like she should be able to go out.
Yeah.
So I like that as well. And I think that really makes it worth watching, especially if you've seen the first way that she went out.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. I love episodes like this. And I have to say this, Patrick. You've given so many set to kills recently.
We've had a good stretch.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
We're in it. We're in it, and you're setting them to kill. I knew you would, my friend.
All right.
I knew it.
I'm sure we're going to get some shitty ones at some point.
Oh, every once in a while, because it's TV. But, I mean, look at that. That batting average is going through the roof.
Yeah, no, this was, it was a good episode. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah.
Tasha Yar got to go out with meaning and some prune juice in her hand. A warrior's drink.
I have to say, I did miss Worf. I wanted so bad
yeah, I know.
When they cut to one of those Klingon birds of prey.
God, that would be,
for Worf
whoa,
to be
that
driving.
Would be so messed up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Worf to be the one captaining one of the enemy ships or something. That would have given me so much joy. But,
yeah.
But, you know, really love this episode.
Yeah, it was good.
Great. Well, Patrick, anything you want to talk about before we get out of here?
Just one thing. That is the Pat Trek Patreon.
Yeah!
We have gotten some new patrons in the past week or so,
mm-hmm.
and we want to thank all of you for subscribing and, you know, helping us keep the lights on here. We are going to have some special content for you this week. We've got some Pat Trek adventures.
Those should be out now, if I don't fall asleep right after the recording of this.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, if you're a patron, go ahead, check our feed, and look for those. And to everyone else, thank you for listening.
Yeah, thank you so much. And if you want to get some of that bonus content, go check us out at patreon.com/PatTrek.
Yep.
Also, you can follow me on Twitter at PatLikesATweet because Facebook is for noobs. And listen to The Dungeon Rats. It's an interactive Dungeons & Dragons adventure that I do with my friends where you, the listener, submit our encounters, monsters, plot twists, and anything else you can think of. And I work them into a game for a bunch of very funny people to interact and play with. So, yeah, I think that's it.
Let's see what's out there.
Peaches. Hot sauce. Peaches. Hot sauce. Peaches. Hot sauce. Peaches. Hot sauce. Peaches. Hot sauce.